John chapter 17, but also Mark chapter 14. Go to Mark chapter 14 first, and then we're going to go to John chapter 17. I appreciate that, Nathan and Coco, and just want to encourage you in the Lord. I want to preach a message tonight. It's been on my heart for a while. Hope it'll be an encouragement to you. I'd like to preach every message on Sunday morning. You naturally want to reach as many people as you can, but can't do that. And tonight I want to preach this message and just pray for me that God would be in it, that I'd preach it in a way that would please the Lord. In Mark chapter 14, verse number 36, Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Bible said in verse 35, he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, and I'd like you to underline this in your Bible, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. I want you to keep that thought in mind, Abba, Father. Now I'd like you to go to the book of John chapter 17. And in John chapter 17 is known as the Lord's Prayer. The entire chapter is a prayer where Jesus was praying there, the same scene that you saw in Mark chapter 14. This is the prayer that Jesus prayed while he was there. And so I want us to just read it tonight. Let's stand together, just get a little stretch out and read in honor of the Word of God. And I'm going to read the entire chapter. It'll be pretty brief. There's only 26 verses. And I want you to notice something as we read. I want you to notice every time that he addresses his Father. I want you to look at the term where Jesus says Father. He'll say Holy Father or Father, whatever. No, I just want you to notice this, and I would encourage you to underline that in your Bibles. As Jesus prays, how he communicates and talks to his Father. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Now, I want you to think about that statement. The glory that Christ had with his Father before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I want you to notice the interaction between the Father and the Son in the work of redemption, in the work of the gospel, sending the Lord into this world. Verse number 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. All mine are thine, and all thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in this world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Boy, that's a statement, isn't it? I come to thee. Look at now. He started off saying, Father. The next time he said, O Father. Now he says, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Thou sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. You know who that is, don't you? That's us, amen? That they all may be one. Now watch it now. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. The glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. I want you to think about that. Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, there he calls him righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I, look at this, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. What I want to point out to you tonight in this prayer, there's many, many messages preached on John 17. What I want to point out to you tonight, maybe draw out of this passage of Scripture for us, is the realization of the relationship of Jesus to His Father and the relationship of the Father to His Son. And I want you to notice as He is praying here, and when you see the account in Mark chapter 14, that phrase that He uses, Abba Father, Abba Father. You know something I know that you and I need? We need a very close and intimate relationship with our Father in heaven, which is in heaven. And Jesus shows us that intimate relationship that He and His Father had together and how He addressed them and the heart that was in Him about His fellowship and so forth with His Father tonight. And so I want you to pray. I want to preach a message on this subject. Lessons from a Father that raised a perfect Son. Lessons from a Father that raised an absolutely perfect Son. Father, I pray tonight that You'd help us to preach this message in a way that would Lord, bring out the truths of Scripture in a way that we need to, in a practical sense in our lives. God, I know one thing, that if the devil could do anything in this world, he'd like to separate you from your Son. He'd like to destroy the fellowship and the communion that you have had with your Son and have with Him. And tonight, God, I know also this, that the devil wants to destroy the communion between earthly fathers and their sons. And I pray, God, tonight that You'd help us as a church to take the truths that we learn and that we might look to You tonight and learn some lessons from a Father that raised a perfect Son. And I pray, God, that You'll be glorified and that Satan's work will be destroyed in our homes. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated tonight. I say again that the term Abba Father is an affectionate term. It actually means daddy. If you were to really take it just over in a practical sense, Abba, Father, it would be like me saying, my daddy. I'm so glad tonight that my daddy is sitting back here. You know, I still remember sitting on my daddy's lap. Amen. How many members when you sat on your daddy's lap? All right. And you know something, there's something to be able to say, that's my daddy. That's my daddy. That's my daddy. That's a special term. And Jesus was telling us something about His love and His affection and His relationship to His Father when He said, Abba Father. Now, there's in the fundamentalist circles, there's an emphasis, and it's rightly so, on the deity of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is God. And there's a great need for that, for the cults all across the world attack the deity of Jesus Christ, and they call Him a good prophet and this, that, and the other, but they will not say that He's God. And as a result of that, fundamentalist works and movements have emphasized and preached hard, Christ is God, Jesus is God, Jesus is God, and He is God. And we ought to keep that to the forefront, that Jesus Christ is God, a very God. But you know something we don't emphasize very much? That just as Jesus was 100% God, He was 100% man. And we don't emphasize the fact that Jesus Christ literally and actually, the Bible teaches, was 100% man at the same time He was 100% God. You say, I don't understand that. There's a lot of things you don't understand. You just have to accept by faith in the Bible. But Jesus Christ was a man. And I think that we maybe ought to reinforce that and preach that and teach that more, because it would help us to understand that He was tempted in all points like as we are, and yet without sin. And there's a lot of things to that. But I want to preach tonight on this relationship of God the Father to His Son. And there's some things I think we can glean, because I know this, that churches are only as strong as the families that attend them.
Amen.
And the families that attend the churches are only as strong as the fathers are in those churches. And if you know me and anything about me for the last 28 years, I've had this deal. Strong daddies, strong marriages, strong families make a strong church. And a strong church will affect its community for Jesus Christ. One of the saddest things to see is the barrier. When I was growing up, it was called the generation gap. This thing that can come between fathers and their sons. And I'm here to tell you tonight that never did anything come between God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Except when Jesus Christ took our sins upon Him. And if there's anything to teach you in the Bible, is that sin will always separate you from your daddy. Sin will separate you from having a good relationship with your father. Sin will separate you from having a relationship with your heavenly father, and it will separate you from having a relationship with your earthly father. I think about talking about relationship with sons. I heard the story about a man who had been to church, and they had him and his wife and his family had all had church, had supper before they went to church. And there was a man at church that wanted to visit with him, and he said, "I'd like to just go get a cup of coffee and like to visit with you after church." And the wife and went home. The little boy said, "Daddy, I'd like to go with you." And so he went with his dad. They walk into McDonald's. They sit down, and they order a cup of coffee, you know. And his dad said to his son, he thinking maybe he wants some pop or some orange juice or something, he said, "Son, what do you want?" He said, "I want a hamburger, Daddy." And he said, "My lady said, you ate supper before we got here." He said, "You don't need a hamburger." He said, "Just get you something to drink like that." The boy just kind of, "Okay, Daddy." He said, a few minutes later, said him and the man was talking, and said the boy looked up and he tapped his daddy on the shoulder and he said, "Yeah, son, what do you need?" He said, "Daddy, if I was you and you was me, I'd buy you a hamburger." He says, "How many do you want?" He said, "I want three." He said, "I bought him three hamburgers that night at McDonald's." You know something that little boy was doing? And this is the first thing I want you to write this down. If you want to learn a lesson from a father that raised a perfect son, you learn to communicate with your children. You learn and do not allow this world nor Satan nor anything to stop you from communicating with your children. And by the way, kids, don't you let the devil and all hell and the world itself stop you from communicating with your daddy. With your mother. You communicate with your parents. Communication is so important. That whole chapter of John 17 is nothing but completely full of a son who was communicating with his father. And the father communicated with his son. And let me tell you, one of the greatest, dirtiest secrets out of hell is if Satan can keep a father from communicating to his children and his children from communicating to them, he will destroy the potential of that home and that family and those lives. Communication is what, you know what? I mean, you go back to Genesis, let us make man in our own image. God didn't alienate Jesus Christ out of creation. His son was involved in all that he was doing. The average, listen to this, the average time spent in communication by an American father in America in 2010 was 4 minutes a day. And I just would challenge all of us daddies tonight to ask ourselves and maybe document it this coming week. How much time have I spent in communication with my children? I'm not worried about the world out here. I'm the pastor of this flock. And you know what I want you to do? I want you to have a wonderful relationship with your children. You know what most children in America are hearing from their fathers? Stop it. Quit. Go to your room. Get ready for church. What's the matter with your grades? Your grades better come up. Shut up, leave me alone, I don't have time for that now. That honestly is the general conversation between an American father and his son. Shut up, go to your room, you better get those grades up, can't you do any better than that, what's wrong with you? That's the average communication of the American father, and we wonder why our homes are disintegrating. We wonder why our children growing up and don't want anything to do with the faith that we profess that we had. I'll tell you this much. If you throw your child in a daycare center when they're little, they'll probably throw you in a nursing home when you're old. Amen. I want to tell you something. I'm so thankful for some of the parents that's been talking to me about their work situation and job situation and all. And I've been hearing the heart cries from mothers in this church about not wanting to even take their children to a babysitter. Let me tell you something. You're never going to get that time back again. And I want to challenge you, there's not a job in this country that's worth you missing the time with your children. And I want to encourage you that your kids are so valuable, so precious in training them and in imparting the way of Jesus Christ into them. I got so tickled tonight at my little buddy over there that come up to help me preach. He was back there and he told Karen, he said, "Sometimes my stomach says, feed me, feed me." Amen. That's a good way of telling that you're hungry. You know what? Karen's got a whole book of little things our kids said as they grew up. And those are so precious. And you ought to take time about the communication of the kids. And don't think what they're saying is stupid. Don't think what they're saying doesn't amount to anything. Stop and take time. And it wouldn't hurt to just squat down a little bit and get right down on their eye level. God really works with me with the kids at this church. They'll come up to me after church. And if I'm not careful, I'm being real spiritual and listening to your all-important world problems that you come and talk to me about. And there's some little kid just standing there patiently waiting just to give me something he drew in church. You know, when I found out it's important for me to get down to eye level, there's a little girl come up here this morning. And she stood right there in just a little while. And pretty soon, you know, she just stood waiting. You know what? And I thought, she just wants to be spoken to. She just wants me to recognize her. She just wants me to let... And I communicated with her. And I just knelt down to the ground and said, "How are you doing?" And she said, "Okay." And I said, "Well, could I get a big old hug from you?" And boy, she just ran at me and threw her arms around me. I'm telling you, kids are waiting and wanting and longing for communication, for people to speak to them, to communicate with them. My goodness, fathers ought to speak to their children. The biggest effort Satan will throw is to cut off communication between you and your children. You know, it works both ways. I want to encourage tonight, and I want to say something tonight, just branch off a little bit and say, daddies, let's don't be raising a bunch of sissies. Amen? And mamas, I want to tell you something. If you have a mama-dominated home where you're dominating and ruling everything, and you're ruling the roost and not letting your husband be the head of the house, you're going to raise a sodomite if you ain't careful. Now, you listen to me. You better listen to me tonight. You better let that boy be a boy. I was walking in church tonight, and Jackson walked along with me, and he said, "Paul?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Me and your boys." He said, "Mama and Susanna and Sarah are girls." I said, "You got it right. Amen." And I said, "Men, boys grow up to be men." Listen, I am so sick of this generation of American boys walking around with their pants hanging down, to their knees, their hats on backward, their shirts untucked. I'm telling you, looking like a bunch of wiggling, their necks jerking like a turkey. I never seen nothing like it in my life. Makes me sick. Be a man, amen. Be a man. See, what are you talking about? I'm talking about I grew up in a time, let me tell you something, I can't stand Smurfs. I can't stand Ninja Turtles. Why in the world would you want to let your kid crawl out of something that crawls out of a sewer pit for? You're letting your kid play at the computer and all he knows, the only muscles he's got in his whole body is his thumbs? That's a bunch of nonsense. Amen. Let's raise some men. Quit playing around Star Wars and all them idiots, Superman, Blooperman, and all of them, whoever they are. I want to tell you something. I am literally just sickened by the sissy American boys. They make me sick. Amen. I'll tell you what, I'm also tired of boys who are told to go, you know, about the biggest chore at most American boys' homes anymore is, "Johnny, would you take out the trash?" If I didn't have anything more to do than take out the trash, I'd send them to Don Zinn. Amen. Listen to me. Communicate with your boys. Now you say, "What are you talking about?" I'm talking about if you let the TV and the computer and the video games raise your sons, you're never going to have any communication with them. You're letting the world do the communicating with your child. I'm talking about this. Make them work. Amen. I tell you what I'd do. I'd buy your son a chainsaw for Christmas and split him off for his birthday. Amen. I'll tell you what. I'm proud of you boys in this church that work, and you're not afraid to work. Not afraid to get your hands dirty. I want to encourage you about that. Build fence. Amen. Learn how to build the fire. You know what? The average American kid don't even know how to build a fire. He thinks you throw green wood on everything and then just, you know, take a match and can't understand why you can't get a fire going. That's why the sodomites want to destroy the Boy Scouts. Might learn how to build a fire. They want them all to be sissies. You got to learn how to build fence and get your hand cut on barbed wire. Amen. You got to milk cow and get kicked in the head two or three times and get a nasty, filthy, stinking tail flipped in your eye and your hair. That'll make you cut it short, amen. You wash that commoner out of it. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you what, I love that story the other day with Travis and Travis telling about Ty. Trying to find that old cow. Said he seen a cow pound, stuck his finger and said, it's cold. Amen. Amen. I love it, amen. I don't say what size that it'll make you walk barefoot in Kalamazoo, it'll make you purty and handsome and strong. Amen. I tell you what, you ought to dig for worms, but I'll tell you one thing. It dawns in, if you ever feed my daughter a worm again, I'll shoot you. I tell you, you can't trust anybody. You can't trust your kids with anybody. I let Don Zinn be around my kids. What's he doing? Fed my daughter a worm. You paid her to eat the worm? You're sorry, lowdown. She's never looked the same since. Amen. You need some blisters on your hands, boys. I'll tell you something else, Daddy. Get out there and cut wood with your son and work with your son and build fence with your son. And I tell you, I wouldn't trade anything for work with my daddy. Yeah, I got some whoopings because I didn't do some things right. But I tell you what, I wouldn't trade those days. And I tell you what, watermelon tastes a lot better if you're out working. And homemade ice cream will mean a lot more for you too if you sweat it all day long. And I want to encourage you, get out there and communicate with your boys and spend time with them. It's not all about money. It's about being together and doing some things together. And it won't hurt you to go to a ball game together and take some interest in your son's sports program. Amen? Amen. Don't let the only guy in the world that said, hey, you did a good job, be his coach or somebody else in the church. You be there. You be there and say, hey, it's all right. When he failed, communicate with your children. Talk to your children. Talk to them about everything. Let me tell you something. Boys, talk to your daddy about girls. Amen. Could I challenge you? Talk to your daddy. Talk to your daddy. He married one. Most likely. If you're here, he must have married one. We hope. Amen. Talk to your daddy about girls. Amen. Talk to him. Communicate with him. Don't slip around 14 years, you know, like your daddy's some kind of idiot, you know, and daddies don't act like, I don't know nothing about them. I mean, at least they're hard, son, they're hard to understand. But they're sure sweet. I walked up the kitchen table just before we come to church, and Susanna's sitting over here, and Karen's sitting over there, and Jackson's sitting over there, and I walked over and I put my arm around Susanna. I said, this is my sweetie pie. He just leaned over and got a hold of Karen and said, this is my sweetie pie. I never saw Karen smile so big in 6 years. Amen. I mean, she glowed from, I mean, her face glowed when that little grandson leaned and said, this is my sweetie pie. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Let's raise some men in America. Let's communicate with our children. God the Father communicated with His Son. Lessons from a father that raised a perfect son. God the Father communicated with His Son, and His Son communicated with Him. Don't you let the devil cut you off from your daddy. I'm telling you right now, I call my daddy up. Don't I, daddy? I call you. So how are you doing? Well, he said, I'm eating breakfast. He'll just tell you, and he'll talk about how he ain't doing nothing. Good land, if I'm doing what he's doing and I'm 86 years old, I'll think I'm Superman. If I'm still putting up hay and feeding my cattle and busting ice in this kind of weather, I'll think I'm Superman doubled over. Amen? Amen. But I talk to my daddy. I don't tell you something. When my daddy goes on to glory, I don't tend to sit around saying, I wish I'd have called my daddy more. I'm going to communicate with my daddy. I ain't gonna let God come between him. And the best thing ever happened to me, and I got saved, I'll tell you, God started to talk to me through his book and said, I'll tell you what, that's your daddy. God changed my attitude toward my daddy. I love my daddy. I've always loved my daddy, but I'll tell you what, God did nothing but enrich my fellowship and my relationship to my father. And I'll tell you what, you draw close to your heavenly father, it'll help you to draw close to your earthly father. I'll tell you something further, guys. We ought not talk to other men more than we communicate with our own sons. We can sit around the coffee shops and go to work and talk with our work buddies. Can't talk to our own boys. There's something wrong with us. Amen. Well, we'll get off on that. We'll get home tonight. And I'll tell you what, we slipped off the road this morning. I don't want to do that on the way home for sure. Number one, if you want lessons from a father that raised a perfect son, buddy, you communicate with your children. Hey, write letters. Write letters. Did you know that God communicated with His Son? I believe it was twice that God the Father cried out from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." I'll get to that a little bit. Number two, correct your children. Correct your children. Now somebody says, "Hon, what are you talking about Heavenly Father correcting His Son?" I'm not going there. I'm just trying to apply the lessons in this. But there's a lesson to be learned of how God the Father dealt with His Son. Now you listen to this. When Jesus Christ was on the cross of Calvary and took our sin upon Him and took the wrath of God and took our punishment upon Him, did you know God shut the lights out? Listen to me. 6 hours He shut the sun off and the moon off. And you know what God did? God let His punishment, His wrath fall upon His Son out of sight of other people. And I want to tell you something tonight. You get this and you get it good. When you correct your children, you don't do it in front of everybody else. Now, I'm not talking about just a gentle or a specific or a real quick deal that you have to correct. I'm talking about when you need to give your child a spanking, you get him alone and away from the other kids and away from other people. Now, I'm telling you in here tonight, number one, you know I'm a believer in child discipline. Buddy, I'm going to tell you something. Don't you kid yourself. Your child's got a sin nature. He's just as wicked as mine are. And your children need correction and they need discipline. But I'll say this. The Bible said in Isaiah chapter... Watch this. Somebody says, "What are you talking about, Reg?" In Isaiah chapter 53, it says that Jesus Christ was smitten of God. But God turned the lights off and God didn't let the world see. And you and I tonight do not know what transpired between God the Father and God the Son when Jesus Christ took our sins upon Him because He shut the lights off. You better think about that one. I tell you what, I heard about it here a while back on a grocery store. I don't know how grocery store owners take it. Little stinking slutty moms come in there, 14 kids and 16 daddies. I don't know how you do that. Come in there with them kids in there, you know, and them kids just running over here. And I want to tell you something. Let me tell you something. You walk in this church house, you make your kids mine. If you let your kids be running all over this church house, this is God Almighty's house. This ain't Romper Room or Captain Kangaroo or Sesame Street in here. One of the reasons that God has blessed this church is because I've preached child discipline in this church. Let me tell you, your kids will do things wrong. The deal is, are you going to correct them when they do wrong? Now, I'll tell you, the Bible said you don't love your child if you won't correct them, make them mind and do right. And you ain't going to train them here at church. Church, you ain't got time to train them here at church. You're going to have them trained at home, and when they get here, the training happens at the house. I'll tell you what, some of you need to learn how to make your kids sit down for 2 hours in one shot. You say, "Oh, I couldn't do that." No, you couldn't. I can. Hand him to me. Amen. I can do it. I can make your child happy to sit for 2 hours. He just, "I'm fine. I'm fine. Leave me alone. I'm fine. I'll sit right here." Amen. I'm going to tell you, train him at home to sit. You train him at home to be quiet. Shut your mouth. When I get my mama, I'll tell my mama, she was a whale of a discipliner. I sat down in that little country church and I guarantee you she didn't need to turn around and tell me, "Rich, if you don't stop that, I'm going to give you a whipping." That, I was whooped before that ever said. I mean, so fast make your head swim. All my mama had to do was just turn her head slightly. You was really close to hellfire and brimstone right there. I'm serious as death now. My mama had the fear of God in me. Church, you don't, boy, I'm going to tell you what, you mess up the church, you just don't, you, I mean, she'd like kill you and resurrect you in the same day, amen? Now, I'll tell you what I'm glad for it, amen? I'm sorry as dirt, I'm the worthless, sorry thing. If I hadn't had a mama whoop the daylights out of me, I'm going to tell you, I'd be in federal penitentiary by now. I'm glad my mama made me mine. Let me tell you something, you don't have to talk to your child three times. Some of you parents, right now, you're nothing but a little liar and your child knows it. You do that one more time, I'm going to thank you. 3 hours later, you do that one more time, I'm going to thank you. You do that one more time, I'm going to thank you. What your child's waiting for is the decibel level. He knows when the decibel level's got up to where you're about to explode and go into a hissy fit. You know, and he runs over the corner, you know, and then you try to beat him to death because you've lost your mind by that point. You ain't Bible discipline your children, you're just an idiot. I tell you right now, and you speak to your children, you listen, you can guide your children with your eye and with words. I tell you what, your child ought to be so trained that you look at them, they know exactly what you mean and what's fixing to come. And they know you mean it. I don't care if you say amen or not. It don't bother me. I'm telling you, I'm helping you.
Amen.
And then those that leave this church and don't like it, I'm sorry for them, but they're going to be, I want to tell you something, you're missing it. Don't provoke your children to anger by punishing them in public. The stupidest thing I've ever seen is this pamper business. Some of you mamas, you're going to show everybody how you whip your child, and you're, even if you get away, you're going to make it sound loud so they think I'm really doing a number. Well, child's looking around at you like, do you want something? You got to get past the pampers, amen? And you don't use this either. You get you a stick. There's a whole bunch of them down there in the woods. If you need one, go cut you one. I'm going to tell you something you can do. One good switching, I mean, that stings the living daylights out of them, will save you 1,000 whoopings. Yes, sir. I'll tell you what, they see that stick, they'll just jump when they see that stick. Amen? Amen. You say you're a child abuser. No, I'm not. You're a child abuser. You're the one abusing your child. You won't whoop them. Teach them and train them. Train them. Voice command. Guide with your eye. Use the rod. I want to tell you something else. That rod ought to be used on their backside, not in the side of their head. Your hand ought to be known for love and affection and hugs and protection. God didn't, I'll tell you what, I don't believe God meant for the head to be struck with a stick. It's a rod, and it's a switch, and it's right back here. I guarantee my daddy knew how to do it. Me and my daddy's danced several dances together. He was doing the center pivot. I was doing the outside circle. Amen. I mean, we had that left, and he had that left hand do-si-do. I mean, boy, I'll tell you something. I'll tell you something I'm proud of my daddy about. I can say this. It's nice when you're the fourth born child. You learn some things from them older brothers. Amen. You learn some things you don't do. I'll tell you what, I'm glad I had a daddy even when my brothers, and I'll tell you what, he'd whoop you when you're 16, 17, 18 years old, wouldn't he, Donnie? Yes, sir. I've seen him do it. And I'm going to tell you something else. My daddy's so mean, he didn't use a switch. He's a dry oak board. I've seen him do it right up there in our front yard. I remember when Donnie and Ronnie came in with that old car and they said that they dropped the rear end on the railroad tracks up here at Norwood. It just drug the rear end right out of it. You remember that one, Donnie? You remember that? I'll tell you what, now this is my remembrance. Daddy and Donnie, if I'm wrong, but this is what I remember. I'll tell you, scared daylight still scares me when I think about it. My daddy's a question them. He had them at the Holy Inquisition, said the deal there in the front yard. And they was telling this story about how they drug the rear end of the car out. And he'd ask them, say, what's wrong with the tires on? Said, the rubber's all gone on that tar. Well, said, they had some story why the tires was wearing out so fast. There's a burning rubber strips from here to Mountain Grove, you know. Boy, I'll tell you what, my dad got him a stick. And I mean, I never seen anybody get whooping like he whooped him. It scared the daylight. So it made me want to go easy, drive 55, don't burn no rubber. I tell you what, you see your older brothers get whooped, but you know what I thought about it a long time? My daddy loved them enough, they 16, 17 years old. He still loved them enough to say, listen, you're eating bread at my house, putting your feet under my table, you're going to live like I tell you to live. Some of you think when your child gets to be 12 or 13 that, you know, he's just kind of on his own right now and he needs to start making his own decisions. I'll tell you what, they ought to be at the house when you tell them to get the house. They ought to shut up when you say to shut up. They ought to do right. Amen. And I'm not talking about having a military academy at your house. I'm talking about having the love of God so you don't have to do that junk. You say, well, it don't work. Well, he's sitting over here in church and dad's sitting right over there. I think it worked pretty good. Amen. You worked real good on me. I tell you, put the fear of God in me. Boy, I'm telling you what, I meant in my mind, I was going to take it easy. Amen. I wasn't going to do it. If I was going to do it, I was going to do it a lot harder, and I'm going to hide it a lot better than they did. Amen. I want to tell you something. Every child needs two things. Every child needs two things. He needs a daddy to beat the devil out of him, and he needs a preacher to preach the devil out of him. If you get a daddy in this church, you'll beat the devil out of you. You got the preacher, all right? You just get your daddy. I'll preach the devil out of you if I can. I mean, listen, we need some old-time preaching that preaches the devil out of these kids. You say, well, my kids ain't got no devil in them. Hey, you messed up. What you think the halos where their horns go together at? I didn't know halo. That's where their horns go together at. Two things. A daddy that beat the devil out of them and a preacher that preached it out. I'll tell you what, you raise good kids, you get that kind of combination going. Amen? I'm going to tell you something. You get that combination going, there's a higher likelihood they'll get saved and live for God and be a blessing to you all your life. How many of you kids like me to quit preaching on whoopings right now? You say, amen. Some of you kids say, amen, get on to something else. Do like Don Zinn does. Amen. No, listen to me tonight. Listen to me tonight. When you get after it early and you teach that child early, you'll not have too much trouble down the road. And by the way, you're not going to raise perfect kids and they're going to mess up and they're going to disappoint you and you're going to disappoint them. But you still have an obligation to discipline and train them in the ways of God and teach them to obey and do right. A child that never learns to listen to his own daddy will never learn to listen to the Heavenly Father when he speaks to him. I'm going to tell you something else tonight. When your child has trouble at school, don't blame everybody and his brother. Say, well, if you don't like it, home educate them. You be the one that deal with them when they want to cheat on the test. Amen? Amen. I've been around the block once or twice. Amen? I'll tell you what, most time teachers got the very best interest in the world for your child. I know they're some mean old teachers. I know that. Boy, wouldn't you hate to be taught by Dennis Martin? Good grief. Walks around with a stick in his hand. Mean, looking like you're going to hit people and stuff like that. I don't know. No, I'm going to tell you something. Listen, I'm just saying this. Don't think the whole world's got it in for your child. The whole world ain't got it in for your child. And to get that attitude out of your mind. Well, we've got to go to number three and get out of here and go to the house. What's the first thing tonight? Communicate with your child. Talk to them. Talk with them. Do things with them. Work with them. I'll tell you, mamas, you ought to have your daughter in there cooking biscuits together, amen. Now I'm fixing to get you. How many of you girls know how to make biscuits? Boys, write it down. How many of you girls know how to can? I mean, know how to plow a garden. Boy, Mikey's head went straight up right there, amen. I may not know much else, but I know how to plow a garden, amen. Hey, listen, ladies, get your daughters in there. Teach them how to cook. Teach them how to sew, amen. They'll be so proud of themselves. You want to make a happy daughter? Teach her how to cook. Teach her how to sew. Teach her how to be something, amen. I'll tell you what, you'll make a happy daughter out of them. And so, communicate with them. Correct your children. Let me tell you something. Don't worry about it. Listen, everybody's got kids, and all your kids are going to be different. You're going to have little sweetie things. She's just going to smile, and every time my wife, I'll tell you what, honey, just plug your ears. I don't care, but I got to use you for an illustration. I don't think she ever got... Did you ever get any whoopings? A few. You know something I know about her? She's of the disposition. All her daddy had to do is look at her. But you know what? Kids ain't all the same. I'm telling you, you might have one. All you got to do is look. I think we're having some communication up here. You know, you might have a child and they're just very easily, you know, trained and very easily disciplined and they just want to do right and so forth. The next child you got, I mean, they're just constantly waiting for you to turn your head. But don't tell you something. Never get discouraged about this. Some of them little meanest little things you've ever seen have the greatest potential for God if you get a hold of it. I mean, they got some fire in them, amen? So don't let that bother you, but do correct them. I like to preach on correcting children. Let me tell you something happened to me. When I first started preaching, and every revival meeting I'd go to, this is why it's a hot button issue with me. When I started preaching in the church I was at, Oak Forest Church down there, let me tell you something. We had kids crawling up. I mean, how would you think about tonight if my kids started crawling from here to the back of the church under that pew? Some of you ladies would think a squirrel got you and you would have a revival in this church. Woo! Little 2 and 3 year old kids crawling down through the bleachers. Crawling over the top. I went to Jeremiah, I found the book of Jeremiah, and God said, I want you to, if you don't get this, we'll go nowhere. Got to get the church under control. You got to get people where they're listening. Got to get kids quiet. Got to get kids in obedience to their parents. I'd go out and preach revival meeting. This is honest truth. I've been preaching revival meeting. Kids walk up there, crawl underneath there, get up there and stand up, crawl up, stand up on a chair and look back at grandma and grandpa and go, while you're preaching. I mean, I've seen all kinds of junk. I've had them come up and lay on the altar. Kids come up and lay on the altar and just lay down on the altar and raise their head up. Guess what I preached on the next night? Amen. But let's go to something. A lot of people get along with communicating. A lot of people get along with correcting their children. But here's the thing I want to say to you. Congratulate your children. Congratulate your children. This is the missing ingredient right here, I believe, in a lot of lives. Congratulating children. A lot of guys think they're real disciplinarians. You know, man, I hope my kids. Let me tell you something. Now, I wouldn't give you a dime about all your disciplinary programs if you can't congratulate your children and tell your children a positive, good thing and just give them some recognition and some thanks and some things that away. Two times at the Jordan River and on the Mount Transfiguration, God the Father said to God the Son, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Did you know what I found out? Ben can tell you this down at camp. You know what one of the biggest problems teenage boys have with their daddies is? They cannot do anything to make their daddy happy. They cannot please their dad. I don't care what I do, it don't make daddy happy. Nothing's ever good enough for daddy. I have watched in this gymnasium down here. Kids do their gut best in basketball and their dad go home and give them a sour look because you didn't make the basket. I've watched daddies chew on their own kids because they didn't think they played good enough. You know what they just well said? You didn't make me look good enough tonight, son. Let me tell you something, boys. If you missed every three-pointer you shot that night, but you give it your gut best, somebody ought to put their arm around your neck and say, son, I'm proud of you. You did your best tonight. Hey, you're not on every night, and daddy, you ain't on every night. How many of you have ever had an off night in basketball? I had thousands of them. I never did have a good one, I don't think. I'd shoot, but it didn't bother me though. I'd shoot, amen. I wasn't discouraged. Shoot again, amen. Shoot again. You ain't going to make it unless you shoot it. Somebody talks about how many points Michael Jordan made. If I shot as much as he did, I'd make several points too. That boy'd shoot, amen. 50 foot up. Psh. 2 foot away. Psh. Shoot it. He gets the ball, shoot it. But what I'm saying is this. Is that you cannot expect your child to want to communicate with you if all you can say is, don't talk to me about it. We're going home. We're not stopping anywhere. Amen. Break. I'll tell you what, Brother Danny Friend gave me a little book at one time, changed my life. And in it, it talked about this subject, that if God the Father said to His Son, I'm well pleased in you. What's wrong with us that we can't tell our children I'm well pleased with you? And it changed my life. I started looking at my own children in a whole different light. I started looking about what the good things they did and the right things they did and the way they tried to please me and the way they tried to be obedient and the things they didn't do wrong. Instead of just the things that they did wrong. My wife helped me in this area many years ago. One day she stopped me and said, Reggie, I want to ask you a question. Are we wanting our children to do right for God's glory or to make us look good? Buddy, I'll tell you what, that Holy Ghost of God slapped me upside the head and said, she's just told you some truth. Why don't you be honest about it? You say, well, there's nothing good in them. Well, whose fault's that then? If your kids ain't got any good in them, there's nothing you're pleased about them, whose fault is it then? Little boy, come home. His grades had been bad one quarter. He come home, brought the grade card back. His dad told him, said, them grades better be up. He brought his grade card back in, showed it to his daddy. He was all excited about it. His dad looked at it and said, you better be glad they're up. Went on about his work. Didn't take a little bit of time to put his arm around his son and say, boy, I'm going to tell you what, that's wonderful. That's great. Let's go get a shake. Amen. I'm talking tonight about congratulating our children. You know, God loved us while we was yet sinners. I've seen men, as I said a while ago, their sons could not please them, and those sons become discouraged. That's why the Bible said, you know, don't provoke your sons to wrath unless they become discouraged. To never make them happy. Let me tell you what happens to a son whose father he can never please. He gives up on it. He just quits. Can't make him happy. Wouldn't make any difference what I did. He's not going to make him happy. What's the motivation to make them do right? Is it for God's glory or for our good? I will tell you what, if I lived to be 150 years old, I could not mine nor plow nor crop this Bible. There's lessons to be learned from the father who raised a perfect son. He communicated with him, and when he dealt with him in smiting him, he did it the way he tells us to do it. And then he congratulated his son. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen one of these days. We're going to step into glory. And you know what God the Father is going to do? He's going to have a whole world bow down to his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to look at what, no wonder God the Father said, in whom I'm well pleased. That son gave his life on the cross of Calvary, poured his last blood out. He said, I have finished the work that thou sentest me to do. And God the Father was glad. And God the Father congratulated. And God the Father is going to give glory to his son for the eternal ages. And I'll tell you something tonight. I want us to raise sons that we can have joy with and gladness with and fellowship with us. And I'm so grateful. I just want to thank the Lord. I think the older I get, the more I thank the Lord for my children. And when I say sons, I'm not just talking about boys. It's our girls too. Amen? It's our girls. But the deal here is the father with the son. And we'll take that application and take that wisdom and take that knowledge and apply it to our homes and our lives. I think we'll have better homes. Amen? You say, well, Reggie, I wish I had it do over again. Well, dear friend, just do the best from today on. Amen? All of us would do a lot of things different if we had the opportunity to do it. But let's pick up today and do the best we can. Can I give you three things, lessons? What three lessons to be learned from a father raised a perfect son? Number one, communicate with them. You say, how Reggie does start that? Why don't you write a letter tonight? Can I tell you something? You say, well, my son's not old enough to read a letter. Write him letters now. Let him read them when he's older. Write your son letters now. Write your daughter letters now. Write your daughter as a letter and say, dear daughter, I'm praying for you from the time your mama carried you in your womb. When you were a little girl, I laid my hand upon your head and prayed for you in your bassinet. And dear daughter, I'm praying for God to bring that one into your life. And I'm praying for God to give you a blessed life. And I want God's blessed best for you. Start writing your children letters. And talk to your children. I mean, communicate with them. They may be going through times and they don't feel like being communicated, but leave that door open, get that door open, and communicate with your children. Don't let the devil shut that thing off. Number two, what do you want to do? Correct your children. They shall give thee rest. They'll give you rest. Ain't going to work. I'm telling you something. We've got a generation of spoiled, rotten Americans who are raised in the idea of Foodonian and worldly ways of raising children, Dr. Spock and all that junk, and it don't work. And the kids are miserable with it. Let me tell you, you go over to that jailhouse and you'll see the result of a lot of it too, buddy. Amen. Number three, what should we do with our children? Congratulate them. I don't tell you what, put your arm around your son, put your arm around your daughter and say, I love you. This afternoon, one of my little grandson, he came over and he jumped up on my lap and kind of laid back. I looked down at his face and you know what I told him? I said, I'm so glad God sent you to our family. He just looked up at me. You could just see the joy in his eyes to know that he was received, to know that he was welcome, to know that we're glad that he's here. I want you to have strong families. I want you to have strong homes. And I want there to be more than just living together. I want you to say, man, it's a blast being in this house. It's a joy being in this family. In this home. I pray this message will help you tonight. And I thank you for your time. Nathan, thank you for that presentation. Be praying for this couple tonight as they get ready to go. Let's stand together. Now we'll give you a choice. You can do one of three. You can either go communicate with your child or your daddy or your mama, or you can correct them or you can congratulate them. Well, before we go home, why don't you do one of the three? If you're going to correct them, just head for the door now. But if you'd like to communicate with them, you know what? Would it hurt to tell your kids tonight, I love you? Would it hurt you children to go to your daddy tonight and say, I love you, daddy. I love you, mama. I'm sure glad I'm in your home and in your family. Why don't you do that right now as a way of leaving this service tonight? Give your children, give your family a hug tonight, somebody somewhere. And just do that. Amen. It won't hurt nothing at all.